On the prayer of Jabez. So many people have heard of this prayer, but we don't need a book to highlight this prayer. The text of the Bible itself is highlighting this man and his prayer in a long, long list of names. This man was a standout. Why is that? Well, because of this prayer he prayed and the transformation that, in a way, he prayed down from heaven upon his life. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." His whole life was changed. He was, from day one, a man marked by sorrow. His mother gave him the name Sorrow, or Sorrowful. And that was the stamp that was on his life. But he prayed down a transformation, and God granted it. Specifically, this one phrase this morning, "Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast." We think of the prayer we all need to pray, that God would expand our horizons, expand our vision. And we think of that in a positive light, God opening up new territory for us. But remember that the coast here is also borders. That which limits us, maybe that which holds us back. In order for God to expand our horizons, he's going to have to get rid of those limitations. And very often, that is the pathway to God opening up new vistas for us, God taking away, maybe not necessarily things that are purely sinful, but that which we rely upon, that which we turn to, that which holds us back, our coasts. Open those up for us, God. And if I can, just in a few minutes, by way of illustration, let me share a quick story for you, with you. The story of the only women who are buried in the West Point Military Cemetery. This is interesting. One article I read said they're the only civilians buried in the cemetery. Another article said they're the only women civilians buried in the West Point Cemetery. But it's a story about Anna and Susan Warner. They were sisters, and they lived in very, very comfortable situation. Their father was a lawyer in New York City, so they had a beautiful home, town home in New York City, and the family was wealthy. But there was a financial crisis in the year 1837, completely destroyed the family's finances. They lost all their investments. They had to sell the home in New York City and move up to a place near West Point, near the West Point Military Academy, on a little plot of ground across the river. They had to move into an old, rundown farmhouse there, and that's where they lived. But what I'm pointing out to you is that God gave these sisters a ministry that they never would have had without that loss. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God took away what they were depending on, so to speak, to open up new vistas. They said, well, here we are. Life's rough. We're now in poverty. But there's the academy right there. Let's do something for God. They started hosting Bible studies every single week. Every Sunday, they held Bible studies for the cadets at West Point. And the cadets would row across the river, have Bible study at their house, row back. They did that for years. Susan, the older sister, passed away at one point. Anna continued on. They held that Bible study for 40 years. And it said that Dwight D. Eisenhower was one of the cadets that used to go to that Bible study that they held. And their ministry with the cadets was so loved and appreciated. When they died, they were both buried with full military honors and buried in the military cemetery. And there you go. That's how they came to be there. God gave them a ministry they would not have had apart from that loss. But there's more to the story. Maybe you don't recognize the name Anna Warner. But here's the thing. You've certainly heard her words before, and here's why. As part of that poverty, that loss that they were experiencing, Anna and Susan had to do something. There weren't a lot of jobs and careers open to them at that time, late 19th century. They began writing. They said, we got to earn some income somehow. They began writing children's stories and published a lot of books. And the books did well. They became well-known. One of their books I read here was second in popularity to Uncle Tom's Cabin. It was the second bestseller at that time. And that's all very interesting, but I don't think we've read any of their books. It just happens that in one of the books that they wrote is a story about a young boy who was sick And he was dying, and his Sunday school teacher, all fictional, of course, they're just telling a story. His Sunday school teacher is trying to comfort him, and part of the story, his Sunday school teacher took the young boy in his arms and began to sing a little song to him. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that was part of the book. Well, it was published, people liked the book, and they liked the song, and William Bradbury, who's written... Oh, you know, he wrote the tunes for several hymns we're familiar with. He liked the song. He read it, wrote out a tune for it. It was published by itself as a song. And as it happens, today it is the most well-known children's song in the whole world. I don't have to tell you, it's sung all around the world in all different languages. Speaking of Bible translation. So God gave these girls a ministry, and it was Anna Warner who wrote that song in that book. God gave them a legacy as well. And it was all due to the loss. I'm just telling you, the ministry they had, they never would have had if it hadn't been for the loss. God took away that which supported them. And as it turned out, that was limiting to them. He gave them a new ministry. And then God gave Anna Warner that legacy. And, you know, we sang that song at chapel last week, didn't we? We sure did. And even today, her ministry and her legacy continues on. I read somewhere that Amy Carmichael, actually was converted. She came to Christ after hearing the words of that song, Jesus Loves Me, and that was her testimony. And so that continued on for years and years, has reached around the world, all due to the fact that God took away what they were leaning on at that time. And I don't know, it might be here today, someone's praying to the Lord for new horizons to open up, but very often God does that by taking away some of the things that are limiting us at this time.